Welcome to Class Matters, an educational program examining the role played by social classes and the class divide in the U.S. and around the world. I'm Rich Whitney.
I'm Paula.
We discuss matters of class because class matters. And just as a preliminary thing today, let's remind our listeners that today is May Day, so happy May Day. May Day being the international working class holiday going back to the late 19th century, and it has quite a history of being all about international working class solidarity.
Invented in Chicago.
That's right, that's right. It was in response to the persecution of anarchists at the time, and it's associated with the IWW and the international workers' movement. So, happy May Day. That said, we want to continue with what has become a de facto series on how the U.S. ruling class, through its propaganda machinery, are continuing to control the so-called national conversation, decide what is acceptable discourse and what is not, censoring ideas and arguments and concepts and facts that they don't want people to know about, while propagating their own narrative 24/7, their own agenda 24/7.
Facts that they don't like are misinformation. They're not wrong, they're just bad. Orwell called it wrong thing, they call it misinformation.
Yeah, yeah. So with that in mind, and continuing that, today we wanted to focus on how the corporate media has responded to the recent announcement on April 19th by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that he is going to be seeking the Democratic Party nomination for president in 2024.
About the way they responded to Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, it's just...
Sure, you might have done some good things in the past, but now you are doing something that we disapprove of. So now we're going to trash you.
Yeah, attack, attack, attack. And that's actually kind of a split because most of the media, most of the time, corporate media, that is, have just tried to ignore it. But to the extent they felt obliged to cover it some, just hit piece after hit piece after hit piece, with a lot of, ironically, their own disinformation. To the extent they covered it all, it was all hit pieces, and they were very vicious hit pieces. And we wanted to take this opportunity to set the record straight about it.
Well, they did the same thing, like I said, to Ralph Nader and also Jill Stein.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody that might be seen as a challenge to the national security state and the U.S. ruling class agenda. And even though, of course, the Kennedy family, like the Trump family, is part of the ruling class. He is persona non grata. He has been isolated from the club, so to speak. And he's not
and
a good member of
him.
The club, so you can't be listening to him.
Him and Trump could hang out together.
Yeah, yeah. So with that in mind, we wanted to focus on a couple of the most scurrilous canards that are being leveled at Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, in our opinion, has done great work with his work with Children's Health Defense. We have read some of his articles and pieces on this program before. If you want to read or hear what he actually said in his announcement speech on April 19th, you can find it on the web. It takes a little searching to actually get it, but you can find it. It's an almost two-hour speech, which he did without notes.
You know, just like Biden.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, it's wide-ranging, and, you know...
And he stood up for free speech, which is something we've been talking about for weeks, months now.
Yeah.
The attack on free speech, and boy, they don't like that.
They don't like that. They don't like the fact that he exposes the connections between the deep state and Big Pharma and regulatory capture, even though he didn't talk about it that very much at all in this speech. He was talking about other subjects. They don't like him because he questions the rah-rah, let's just keep supporting Ukraine attitude, and is actually really more of a peace candidate, especially with his longstanding opposition to the military-industrial complex and the CIA and the intelligence agencies and their connections to the media, stuff that we've been talking about. He's been talking about as well for
now,
some time.
He did have a kid. He is definitely the only one in his family that goes against the grain, because he did have a kid that went over and fought with the Nazi regime, the Kiev regime in Ukraine. And he said he's proud of him. And I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's his kid, right? And I'm sure the kid was more influenced by the rest of the family than him. And he's not going to say, I'm not proud of my son. you know.
Right, yeah. And we have our own criticisms of RFK Jr. We don't like any candidate. No candidate's going to be perfect.
Right.
He makes mistakes. But one of the things that's appealing about him is that he is constantly saying, hey, if you disagree with me, show me the evidence.
Yeah, you have a right to present your evidence. This is so against the ruling class agenda now, it's unbelievable. Evidence? We don't need no stinking evidence. You listen to the science, and then you shut up, and you just adopt it. And if the science does a 180, you just shut up and adopt the new one. By the way, he wrote that big, long book on Fauci.
Yeah, right, exactly. Fauci, who is trademarked science, of course.
Yes, yeah. He is the science, according to him. He is a war criminal, according to me, but whatever.
Well, anyway, let's get to some of these media attacks. And I wanted to start with one. This is by a journalist named Jeremy R. Hammett. He does some great work on his own, especially on this vaccine issue. You can find this and other great writings at jeremyrhammond.com. And this piece is entitled, Daily Beast Hit Piece on RFK Jr., Can't get basic facts straight.
Of course they can't, because they are the ruling class narrative and they lie, like I said. Yeah.
So on April 8th, 2023, in response to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing his candidacy for president, that was before the official announcement, the Daily Beast ran an article titled, RFK Jr. Would Be the Worst Possible President Kennedy. The article is a disgraceful hit piece whose authors can't even get basic facts straight. The authors, Lawrence O. Gostin, Kenneth H. Rabin, and Scott C. Ratson, mindlessly accuse Mr. Kennedy of having an anti-science agenda. But the best they can do...
Oh, because he believes in evidence?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He believes in scientific inquiry and debating among scientists. Ooh.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Mr. Science wouldn't like that.
Yes. But the best these authors can do to support that ridiculousness is essentially to pronounce their own faith and the very same quote-unquote public health establishment that sold the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines to the public on the basis of the lie that two doses would provide durable protection against infection and transmission, the same establishment that lied that the lockdown measures, which utterly failed to protect those at highest risk while causing horrific harms, were based on quote-unquote the science.
Well, you know, locking down the children and the adults and then putting sick COVID patients in grandma's nursing home, that's not the best way to protect grandma.
No, that's right. The authors seem to think that simply labeling Kennedy, quote-unquote, anti-vaccine and anti-science, suffices to support their conclusion that he has turned the Kennedy legacy upside down. Their attempts to substantiate those labels fall flat on their face, though, as they cannot even get basic facts straight. Naturally, they start out with the obligatory reference to the 1998 Lancet study. Now, this is quoting their article from the Daily Beast. The triggering element literally was mercury. In 1998, the British doctor Andrew Wakefield published an article in the Lancet claiming that thimerosal, a mercury preservative contained in the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, caused autism. The Lancet later retracted the article, its editor calling its statements utterly false, while the British Medical Journal called Wakefield's article fraudulent. British authorities stripped Wakefield of his medical license. However, distraught parents of autistic children still embrace Wakefield, who now makes a fortune on the anti-vax propaganda circuit, and so too does RFK Jr. So right there, they're doing guilt by association, right? Jeremy Hammond here does a complete breakdown of this, and he points out where to begin with correcting this disinformation. First, the Lancet paper was not authored by Andrew Wakefield alone. He had 12 co-authors, including the senior author, famed gastroenterologist Dr. John Walker Smith. Second, Wakefield et al. Did not claim that thimerosal in the MMR vaccine caused autism. This is a ridiculous claim for the simple reason that the MMR vaccine did not contain thimerosal. It is unremarkable that this article had no less than three authors in addition to presumably being put under editorial review prior to publication, and yet they still got this basic fact wrong. This just goes to show how the author's knowledge of the topic of vaccines is practically non-existent. They know nothing, and they didn't even bother to do the most basic fact-checking of what they think they know prior to publishing their nonsense. Third, Setting aside that stupid misinformation about the MMR vaccine, Wakefield and company did not claim that the MMR vaccine causes autism. On the contrary, they explicitly stated that the findings from their case series of children presenting with both gut dysfunction and regressive developmental disorder did not show a causal link between the vaccine and autism. They simply reported that parents had associated their children's developmental regression with receipt of the MMR vaccine and hypothesized that there might be a link. Fourth, the study was not retracted on the grounds that it was fraudulent. Rather, the sole basis for the retraction was the decision by the UK General Medical Council, or GMC, to suspend the licenses of Dr. Wakefield and Dr. Walker Smith on grounds of alleged professional misconduct.
No, going up against Big Pharma.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
They don't mess around with people that do that.
Yeah, that's right. When Lancet editor Richard Horton referred to statements he thought were utterly false, he was referring to the GMC's accusations that Wakefield and company made the allegedly false statement in the paper that the children in the case series were consecutively referred and that the authors had failed to get approval for their investigation from a local ethics committee. Fifth, there's a particularly good reason for the media to pretend as though Wakefield was the sole author of the study, which is that the senior author, Dr. John Walker Smith, appealed the GMC's ruling and won. Dr. Walker Smith had his medical license reinstated in 2012 on the grounds that the GMC's accusations were untenable and unsupported by the evidence. Specifically, the children had indeed been referred successively, rather than as a single batch, and the study authors did not require ethics approval for the procedures the children underwent under Walker Smith's care because those procedures were clinically indicated for diagnostic purposes. The reason Wakefield did not join his colleague in appealing the GMC's untenable ruling was that the legal costs were not covered by his insurance carrier. So the only two truths we can squeeze out of that absurd paragraph of the Daily Beast article is that Wakefield was one author of a paper published in The Lancet that was later retracted. But the Daily Beast article continues, and this is quoting the Daily Beast now. The irony here runs deep. RFK Jr. continues to hype a massive conspiracy regarding thimerosal, even though the CDC actually removed it from most childhood vaccines, including MMR, in 2001. He has also stubbornly ignored an Institute of Medicine immunization safety review, along with 9 CDC-backed studies showing no association between thimerosal and autism. It's sadly not hard these days to sell the idea that the CDC and the rest of the public health community is engaged in all manner of deceit. Now, that's ending the quote now.
And I would just like to say they brought it on themselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The reason people no longer trust vaccines, the reason people no longer trust the FDA, the reason that people no longer trust the CDC, the reason people no longer trust science,
in quotes,
is them.
Yeah.
They have destroyed the trust by being so obviously liars and withholding evidence and ignoring facts.
Yeah.
Come on now. People aren't stupid.
Yeah.
Most people anyhow. You cannot just lie and go, they don't trust us anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just wrong. We demand it. We demand trust. We demand respect. And we're going to outlaw disrespect. That is their thing. If they wanted to be trusted, if they wanted respect, they would earn it.
Yeah.
But instead they're trying to legislate it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. And just shove it down our throats.
Exactly.
So Hammond writes, where to begin with correcting this nonsense? First, curiously, the authors do not specify what massive conspiracy regarding thimerosal they are claiming that Mr. Kennedy continues to hype. Evidently, we are supposed to believe that Kennedy claims that there is still thimerosal in most childhood vaccines, which is false. Kennedy says no such thing.
No, it's aluminum now.
Yeah. On the other hand, he does accurately point out that thimerosal continues to be used in multi-dose vials of influenza vaccines,
yep,
which are recommended for everyone aged 6 months and up, including pregnant women.
Yeah, but no ethics committee needs to look at that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Kennedy also rightly points out how during the late 1980s and 1990s, as the CDC continued adding more vaccines to its routine childhood schedule.
Up to 72 now.
Yep. Nobody in government ever bothered to consider the potential harms from the increased amounts of mercury that children would be exposed to.
Like our kids had, they had MMR, DPT, and polio. That's all our kids had.
Yeah. Now
and now they get 72.
Yeah, it's crazy. And when the FDA finally got around to doing the calculations in 1999, it became publicly known that the cumulative levels of mercury that infants were being exposed to exceeded the government's own safety guidelines. So it was emphatically not a conspiracy theory that the CDC and FDA are completely unworthy of our trust, a reality that Mr. Kennedy has courageously and thankfully worked to make the population aware of.
Yay for him. And I would just like to point out, we've known since the 70s that aluminum in brains makes people have Alzheimer's, but they knew way back in the 1800s that mercury in the brain made people mad as a hatter.
Right.
I mean, the whole Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Hatter, they knew that because the hatters used mercury in their job, and it ruined their brains.
Yep,
They've known mercury is bad for human brains for over 200 years.
Yeah.
But they're injecting it into people. If it goes through your gut, if it goes into your mouth and through your gut, it isn't as absorbed as much as if it's injected directly into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different way of introducing these toxic heavy metals into your body or into your child's body or into a newborn's body.
Right.
And they've never studied it. To me, you'd have to be brain dead to not realize that injecting something into a bloodstream is much more dangerous than putting it through your gut.
Yeah, well, they did study it enough for the FDA to conclude that the level of mercury is exceeding government guidelines. So
that FDA did a study, found out that the mercury was bad, and then they did nothing about it.
Yeah, that's right.
They just sit there and tell you, believe the science. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. You just told us the science said it was above toxic levels. Oh, don't pay any attention to that.
Yeah, that's right. Continuing with him, and second, once again, to correct the repeated misinformation, the MMR vaccine does not and never did contain thimerosal. Third, it isn't Robert F. Kennedy Jr. who ignores the findings of the Institute of Medicine. It's the CDC who does that.
Mm-hmm.
As an illuminating example to support its claim that vaccines do not cause autism, the CDC cites a 2004 IOM review, that's that Institute of Medicine, that in fact acknowledged that, quote, the hypothesis that exposure to thimerosal-containing vaccines could be associated with neurodevelopmental disorders is biologically plausible, and that the evidence was inadequate to accept or reject a causal relationship. That's quoting the IOM there.
In other words, we need more studies.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they've known since the 1800s that mercury ingested causes brain damage.
Yep.
But we need more studies now.
Right.
But that's adults. It couldn't possibly hurt babies.
Additionally, the CDC cites a 2012 IOM review that acknowledged that none of the studies had considered the possibility of vaccines contributing to the development of autism in subpopulations of children with a genetic or environmentally caused susceptibility. The IOM further acknowledged that this curious oversight could explain studies' failure to find an association. The IOM was explicit that the evidence did not rule out the possibility that vaccines could cause autism, and ironically, by declaring that vaccines do not cause autism, the CDC is rejecting the standard of evidence adopted by the IOM in that review. As another illuminating example, a 2013 IOM review acknowledged that no studies have ever been done to compare the differences in health outcomes between children who've been vaccinated according to the CDC's schedule and children who remain completely unvaccinated.
Well, you know, I remember reading a book about a medical resident called House of God. It was really good. But one thing that a fourth year resident told him when he first started, if you don't want a bad finding, don't measure it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to find out that someone has a fever, well, just don't take their temperature.
Right.
And that's what these people are doing. There's no studies that show a correlation because you haven't done the studies.
Yep,
that's
yep.
House of God stuff right there.
Yep. Hammond continues. The IOM called on the CDC to conduct such a study using its vaccine safety data link, a surveillance run by the CDC in collaboration with several healthcare organizations, but to date, the CDC has refused to do so. Fourth, legitimate concerns about vaccines are hardly limited to concerns about mercury toxicity. The fact that the authors seem to think that this is the only issue, or even the main issue, just serves to illustrate how completely clueless they are about the topic.
Well, here's the thing. The incidence of autism has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And they can't explain it. So they're like, well, we're just going to pretend it's not happening. It's like one out of every 30 children now, something ridiculous like that. It used to be one out of every 10,000. What happened?
Yeah.
Something has happened. Why is child diabetes up? Why is child asthma up? Why are childhood allergies up? They don't have the communicable diseases that we used to have when we were kids, but the chronic diseases, the autoimmune diseases that the kids nowadays have, we didn't have in our generation, but now they have it, but they're totally and completely unconcerned about chronic disease.
Right.
Even though, as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pointed out by Dr. Fauci, he was appointed 40 years ago the head of an agency which is supposed to track community health, public health.
Yes.
And he pays no attention to the rapid rise in the worsening of the public health of children.
Yeah, yeah.
No concern at all.
That's right. And the organization has probably done more than any other to actually look at this and actually trying to discover the causes of these ailments, this massive rise in all of these medical problems, is Children's Health Defense.
Go to their website. Unfunded by the government.
That's right. And they're not just focused on vaccines. They're focused on the environment, all kinds of environmental factors. They're actually invested in the real science.
Yeah, the Roundup Ready GMO crops that came in 1996 and 1997. And now almost every bit of corn and soybean grown in this country in only, 20-something years is used with Roundup.
Yeah.
And what effect does that have on the environment and on people? Especially children.
The proliferation of plastics, the BPAs and BPHs. I mean, they look at all of this stuff. All of these things may have an association with this explosion in childhood ailments. Well, in adult ailments, too.
But it's worse with kids.
Right.
We should be protecting children as a country, not attacking children the way that this country seems bent on attacking children.
Yeah. Continue with the Hammond article, fifth. The author's opinion that it is sad that people think that the CDC and the rest of the public health community have engaged in all manner of deceit just serves to demonstrate their own inexplicable disconnection from reality.
Yeah.
The CDC's constant deceitfulness is easily demonstrable, and it must take great effort indeed on the part of the Daily Beast authors not to see it.
We're an empire now, and we create our own reality.
Yes,
and they create their own reality, and these people are paid big bucks to present it to the rest of us as if, no, the emperor does have great clothes.
Yeah.
Look at those beautiful clothes.
And, of course, the further context here, which we have pointed out previously in this program, is that the Daily Beast, like so many, many other media outlets, is actually run now by former intelligence agents. We've exposed that on this program some months ago.
And DNC operatives.
Yeah, that's right. So with that, we wanted to turn to another big canard that is leveled repeatedly against RFK Jr., and that is the charge that he has inappropriately linked the COVID mandates and some of the measures that were undertaken in response to COVID to the Holocaust and to Anne Frank, and this stuff has been repeated. If you look up on a Google search engine, look up RFK Jr. and Anne Frank, I literally went through, I think, at least 10 pages over and over again. RFK apologizes for remark about the Holocaust, comparisons to Anne Frank, blah, 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 blah. Well, when you get to what he actually said, you see it wasn't offensive at all. But he, as we're going to find out, he felt that realistically he did have to offer an apology. And we're going to get into that here by going to an article that you can find at Tablet Magazine, tabletmag.com. And this is a Jewish-oriented magazine. It's run by folks who are of the Jewish faith. This is an article by a journalist named David Samuels called The RFK Jr. Tapes, published April 24th. And again, tabletmag.com, you find it. And it's a long, long interview with RFK Jr. himself. And it's biographical. It talks about how he feels about the Kennedy assassinations. Covers a wide range of issues. So if you want to read what RFK Jr. himself has to say about about any number of things, it's an excellent, excellent article. very good source from the horse's mouth. And frankly, David Samuels is also very good. He makes some great points in the course of interviewing him about what's going on, about the deep state, and the CIA connection with the media and so on and so forth. It's pretty fascinating.
What's that TV show we watched about the comedian that does stand-up in Las Vegas?
Oh, the one with Gene Smart. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. But
well, anyhow, part of the plot is that they accused her of burning down her husband's garage, right? They accused her over and over and over again. She kept saying, I did and I didn't. And finally, she's like, you know what? Fine. And then she starts making jokes about it.
Right.
But she tells the young woman she hires, I never did that. It's just that once the media just overwhelmingly says something, you can't fight it.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like Jerry Lee Lewis. Everyone thinks that he's called the killer because he killed his wife. But that isn't true. But the media says it, so everyone believes it. And what are you going to do?
You know,
you can't fight the media.
Yeah. So toward the end of this wide-ranging interview, Mr. Samuels then asks RFK Jr., does it hurt you when you're painted as a nut, or do you not give a blank, right? And RFK Jr. says, I wouldn't put it in either of those ways. I would say that the way I do decision-making is just to say that what other people think of me is not my business. Doesn't mean that I don't care, but I'm just not going to pay attention to it.
That's very healthy.
Yeah, I'm going to make decisions based on science and reason. If you can show me the evidence, you can change my mind, and I'll admit that I was wrong happily. But I don't try to do it through bullying or through intimidation.
Because that's why they don't like him, because that's how
right.
they do it.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm just going to say, no, show me the evidence. Then he gets asked, now, when you made your semi-infamous Anne Frank comment in which you suggested that modern-day totalitarians have tools at their disposal that even the Nazis didn't have.
True that.
Yeah, your wife publicly repudiated that. And he says, yes. And then Samuel said, that had a little bit of a Soviet feel to me. I was like, it would hurt if my wife said something like that in public. And RFK Jr. said, I encouraged her to do that. In fact, I had given her language that was even stronger than what she said. I made two statements. One, I think it was in 2016, a reporter in Sacramento asked me something, and I said I had used the word a Holocaust. Not the Holocaust, but a Holocaust. I love language, and I use language with particularity. And to me, I was not comparing it to the Nazi Holocaust, but to the biblical use of the word Holocaust, which means a sacrifice, like Abraham and Isaac. That's the sense I was using Holocaust, a burnt offering. That our children are being sacrificed to some idea of a greater good.
Yep.
That's how I intended it.
Yep, like Aztecs throwing children in the fire.
But they don't care about the facts. So people came after me and said, oh, he compared it to the Holocaust. And then you get involved with, okay, you're hurting people who are sensitive about this, so what do? And then Samuel said, you're not actually hurting people who are sensitive about it. You activated an automated outrage machine that was looking for a gotcha.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. And so Kennedy says, I'm living in a world, David, where nobody prints my replies or explanations.
Exactly.
The only thing that they print is that they say, I'm sorry. And that's the only way to end the controversy, because I can sit there all day and make rational arguments and nobody's ever going to hear them. And ain't that the truth?
Really?
It's like talking into an effing tin can. That is the environment, the ecosystem in which I live. One where my words are never used unless there is some way to twist them to use against me. So I ended up having to apologize for a mischaracterization of what I said. And then the same thing happened in Washington. They say, people said I compared Anthony Fauci's countermeasures to the Holocaust. But if you listen to what I said, I was talking about totalitarianism in general. About the communist regime in Eastern Germany and the Nazis, and how the ambition of every totalitarian regime is complete control, and how they've never been able to do it, but now there's technology out there that allows for that. And Samuel said, which is a factually correct statement. And, you know, if you look at what he actually said, and I have the actual quote here, what he actually said at this rally was, quote, even in Hitler's Germany, you could cross the Alps into Switzerland. You could hide in the attic like Anne Frank did. Today, the mechanisms are being put in place that will make it so that none of us can run, none of us can hide. And that is a true statement, right? As he points out that, you know, this is quoting Kennedy again, they know your GPS even when your phone is turned off. So I was making the point about turnkey totalitarianism that they've now got in place. And if they want to clamp down, there is no way to fight them. And he goes on in that vein. Well, there's a lot more to this article. Again, you can find this at tabletmagazine.com, the RFK Jr. tapes. Very good article, but that's all the time we have. Thanks for listening to Class Matters. We'll be with you again next Monday.